Okay, this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about judgment and, ruling well, how to rule well. In this dispensation, there's nothing to us, how we're to rule as it was in the, Old Testament times, but I will go through a couple of verses there at the end. But to start out, let's turn to Proverbs 13, and we'll read verses 23 to 25. Proverbs 13, 23 to 25. We'll start off by reading that. And all three of these verses have to do with judgment. And for example, much food is in the tillage of the poor. That is, Messiah, Jehovah, would give the rain, and there would be much tillage. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. But there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. And then I'm going to read 25 next, and then come back to 24, because those two go together. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. So again, those who are righteous, the Lord would send his blessings on, as we have in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it had the blessings and the curses. But here we have a verse in verse 24 that you may have heard some southern preachers, or who knows where from, might have went off on this verse. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So I'm going to do a little bit of a word study this morning on this word rod. The word rod. And before we do, though, notice here is where it says, chasteneth him betimes, carefully seeketh correction. He carefully, in verse 24, chasteneth him betimes, says he carefully seeks correction. So, another verse that goes along with this is Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. And it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Or that you will deliver him from the grave. Here's a verse that has both nephesh and sheol, both in the same verse. Will deliver his nephesh from sheol, or deliver him from the grave. In other words, he won't die. He'll stay alive. But in 14, withhold not correction. If thou beatest him, this beateth, you can beat hard and you can beat soft. This word here, it's not just people assume that this has to do with punishment and we have to, really get this right going. Anyway, I've known preachers personally that have pretty much done that with these verses. But in the Hebrew, the word for rod is shevet. And three letters, just like most Hebrew words, shevet, beit, and tav. It's three letters. It's a noun, but most nouns, even in Hebrew, even are three letters. But there are more exceptions to that than verbs in Hebrew. But either way, shevet has to do, the root of this meaning has to do with a branch off of a tree, say off of a tree trunk. And there are different sizes of branches. There's branches for many occasions. And these are listed in 7626 of Strong's Concordance. So, you might get a little bigger limb and use it for punishment. It might get a little twig for making a writing instrument. These are all listed again as possible meanings. So we can get something for fighting. There's a rod that rules for ruling, and we can get a cane for walking. But the point is, there's different sizes switches, for example, that you would choose. And the whole idea is of judgment, that the Father uses judgment on the Son. And all of these things that we just mentioned here, punishing, writing, and all that, these are all things the Father can teach his Son. If he loves his Son, he's going to even teach him how to rule. I mean, he's not going to beat the life out of him and make him not confident in himself. Not by example, he's going to do these things. And the Son is going to learn how to rule others as well. He's going to learn how to walk the walk properly. And let's see, there's what's called a scion. It's a cutting off of a tree normally used for grafting or something like that, or cloning. But the that name also came to mean a descendant of a wealthy family, a scion, and scion is also an example of that word shevet in the Hebrew, but it has to do with this word has to do in almost every case with some type of judgment or ruling of some type of ruling or so forth like that. So that's the word, and you can see it there in the verses we read in Proverbs. But let's look at a couple more meanings of this word. As you know, Hebrew words have several meanings, and so do English words, but there's something that they say about the Hebrew word that, like, we've heard the definition of a word as a word picture or an idea picture or something like that. They say it's more true in Hebrew than it is in any other language, how that these words all from the beginning had common roots and branched out. And knowing these different meanings help us understand it. Let's look at Judges 21:15. And again, I can't see anything up on the board, so
it's getting closer.
Thank you again, Chico, for your faithfulness. It says, and the people, here it is, Judges 21, and the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Here the word tribes is the same word shevet in the Hebrew that we saw back there in Proverbs, that we say can be offshoots. Maybe we can think of it as being an offshoot, and when we speak of the word tribe. But here we see that Benjamin was down to being non-existent. So it says that the Lord had made a breach, in other words, from one who had already been selected. The Benjamites had already been chosen. So then the rest of that chapter talks about how that the Benjamites would be restored. And this was early on in Judges. Even though this is toward the last of the book of Judges, there's two appendices in the back, and this is one of them. And this would have happened earlier on And it would have given him more time also. For example, King Saul was the first king. He was a Benjamite. That was, you know, so the men had to build back up. But there's other proofs, too, that this happened earlier. Also, Ruth is an appendices in the book of Judges. It happened somewhere maybe a little farther in the middle, though, based on the genealogies there. But either way, the main point here is that Benjamin was a tribe. And many places in here, there talks about the tribes. For this word, it uses it probably more even than rod. Then we have Genesis 49:10, and this is where Jacob called the sons together, and he put a blessing on each of the sons. And when it came to Judah, in verse 10 of Genesis 49, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." Here the word scepter is shebet, the same as we have for rod. The scepter shall not, and that a scepter is something that a king would hold, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So here we see Christ. The prophecy that Christ would come through the kingship of Judah, we see that in this verse. But we're getting a little bit more idea also of this word, on this word study of the word shebet. And it has to do with ruling wisely. Something that's much needed, in this day and age. Let's see, I'll get to that one. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 2. Let's talk about that a little bit. Psalms chapter 2, the whole chapter. I'll start at the beginning here, if I can find it. Okay, it says, Why do the heathen rage? The nations. Why do the nations rage? It's something we see going on in the world today. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Okay, so those three verses we'll leave as a group. Then we're gonna see some more verses where it is said by some chronologists that Jehovah is speaking for himself. But in verses 10, 11, 12, it goes back to finishing off what we just started here. In the middle, though, Jehovah speaks for himself, but here we see in verse 2, we see they take counsel together against Jehovah and against his anointed, saying, and the word, for anointed, think of Messiah and against his Messiah. So, we have this same thing, why do the heathens rage, that we find in Acts 4:25-27. I'm going to turn to that. Acts 4 and verse 25 says, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, or his Messiah. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. So here we see a fulfillment of prophecy to this verse. And I say a fulfillment of prophecy because we're also going to see a verse there in Revelation. But we see that, you know, here, take note here too, Pontius, you know, and I've said it before, where it says, and I say, and the Jews killed Jesus, or they murdered Jesus. Anyway, it wasn't just the Jews, it was also the Romans. And, I know you know that, it's just good to point out though, in our Bible studies, but whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. So the whole world rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the nation of Israel. Pontius Pilate was just going to go along with what the people wanted as a politician would. He saw the truth, though. And where it says that there was a good report given there to him. But in any case, now let's go back to, let me see my notes here. Let's go to, let's go to Revelation 2:24-29. We'll read that one. And this is talking about the angel at the church of Thyatira. And, you know, all of these seven churches, you know, they were actual places. But I believe these, where he's talking to the angel of the churches, I believe these have to do with systems, religious systems. And you notice here and earlier up, it talks about Jezebel and thou teach to seduce my servants to commit fornication and so forth. These are things going on today even, these religious systems going on today. But when we get down to verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depth of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye already have, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And the word here for rule, and he shall rule them, if you notice the note, it says literally shepherd them. And he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. And here we see that this rod also has to do in the Greek, you know, because here we have a Greek equivalent of that verse that we read back in, Psalms chapter 2. Yeah, that verse here. So we see that this word shepherd, you know, has to do with shepherding or ruling wisely. So here we have it here too. Okay, so then back to Psalms chapter 2. I'll keep reading there. And, hold on. Okay, then in verse 3, we read, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In verse 4, in Psalms chapter 2, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Here's the father talking to the son. In the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Here he says, thou shalt rule or govern them. Thou shalt rule or govern them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And then we'll go ahead and read the last three verses. Be wise now, therefore, all ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. And this is still a message going out today to any king, to any ruler, and that doesn't fear the Lord. In verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So there you see different uses, number one, of the word Shabbat. But we also see that this lesson, not only as a father to their son there when we started the text there, but as Christians, as leaders to the people, a leader needs to have this same kind of a judgment in ruling as we have in fathers and sons. That's the picture. And we also have a picture of the Lord doing the same thing with us. And we see this in Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 and 6 is all I'm going to read of that. 1-6 is good, but for sake of time, Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So the world today is looking for what's called the parousia. 99.9% of Christians who do believe in a second coming look at 1 Thessalonians 4:15 is the word coming. Also, you look at the note on 2:19 of that 1 Thessalonians, he shows you the seven places that where parousia occurs in the first and second chapter of of Thessalonians. You see it seven times. But this is what the world is looking for. And the way it looks in the passage there, some people interpret that like, and we're going straight to heaven. As soon as this, all of this prophecy here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But here we see that if he stays on the earth, he says, so shall we be forever with the Lord. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have work to do yet still on earth. And that's what we just read here in Jeremiah chapter 23. And these are things that are still to take place later. Now what we're looking for is a phanerao. It's in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Where it says, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Let me turn to it here. I do have this one marked. Colossians 3:4. When Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The word appear It's in a row, or row, in a row, however you pronounce that. Then shall ye also appear in a row with him in glory. So that is what we call the manifestation. And that is what must be the next thing on the calendar for God's eternal plans and purposes. I can't imagine how the manifestation could happen after the parousia. As mystery people, we're sort of an insert into all of this prophecy of the Old Testament. This time we're living in is sort of a mystery period, an inserted period. But as that goes, that's the world today. And if you might have heard a statement Elon Musk made a week ago, he talked about civilization is at a crossroads. And that's I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what people got out of what he said. And we're about to reach a crossroad and civilization. And he talks about civilization, and it's a feeling that I believe a lot of people have in the earth and the world today with all of the things coming to a head. And the fact that Musk is considered a visionary and rightfully so, in many areas, is why people listen to him and think that he's got something to say. But anyway, he feels strongly about if the world goes to the left rather than to the right, say, that he's going to lose 90% of his own personal wealth as well. That's pretty much how it happens. Well, in Russia, when Rubik invented the Rubik Cube, he made like $13 million. Well, he got to keep $1 million of that, which was, still pretty good. He got to keep $1 million, but that's pretty much the cut, in a country like that. All right, but there's four times in Paul's last seven books where it uses the word rule. And I'm going to read those in Colossians 3, verse 12. We're already at Colossians 3, so let's skip on down to verse 12. And I'll read verses 12 through 16. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, or bearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So here's the word rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So, as far as us having something to rule over it so much, we can look at a couple verses in 1 Timothy, but here we have the peace of God, and that he is ruling in our hearts. Then in 1 Timothy 3:5, says, For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And this is true with leaders also. A leader can't rule his own household. How can he rule? Same similar idea. But this goes along with the original text. If a man raises his children right and loves them and doesn't hate them, that verse is going to go a long way to taking care of this here in 3:5. So So there we have that example. In 5:17 of 1 Timothy, we have, let the elders that rule be well counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So there are people you're always going to know who devote their whole life to the ministry. And Paul says, don't forget about these people. You know, they're deserving of honor. And, you know, we have examples in our group also like that. Then in Philippians 3:16, it says, Philippians 3:16, and this will be the last verse we read. Okay, here it is. Philippians 3:6, let me back up to verse 15. Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So we are all to walk by the same rule, and this is something of a, you know, we're all in this together type message, and you know, we all need to walk circumspect in this day and age, especially because we talk about being free from the darkness, you know, rulers of the darkness and so forth. But we see it in front of us. We see the rulers of the darkness, being worked at least through. And, you know, we see actual people and, that portrays this thought to some degree. Now, whether, you know, this is Bible prophecy 100%, I won't say, but I will say it's that what you're seeing going on in Israel is certainly a precursor of it, if nothing else, because it's just too much of it. Did you know that in 1939 there was a ship headed for the United States from Danzig, where they were escaping the Nazi regime? It's about 1,000 people came over on that ship, and we couldn't afford to bring in 1,000 more aliens. Okay, that was, Roosevelt rejected them, and so did Cuba. They turned them around into a storm, and I believe if the account I read is right, one person survived out of close to 1,000 people. But we didn't have enough land in those days to bring in 1,000 more people. Anyway, I bring that up because, to some degree it could be argued that Christians also have a responsibility, you know, when it comes to our nation. So, in that respect, I've heard less than half of Christians even vote. So it could be argued that we have a responsibility in why the world has gotten to the point it has today. And maybe we could have been better stewards along the way. I don't know. Just an idea. But, the point is, let's all pray for each other and Things are tough, and the roller coaster is just getting started. So my prayers go with all of you. With that, I'll close in a word. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for your word, for what you mean to each one of us. Help us to walk by the same rule, Lord, to mind the same things in you, in your word, and do it from the heart. And thank you all. Amen.